February 23rd and open a public hearing on House Bill 2855. Erin, will you please explain the measure?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2855 extends period of time from 8 days to 15 days that individual nominated or elected to public office by write-in votes has to accept nomination or office, requires filing officers to deliver by mail and email form for individual to sign to accept nomination or office. There is an emergency clause on the measure. We did receive just a little while ago a dash two amendment. The dash two amendment does effectively replace the underlying measure. It requires person pursuing write-in candidacy to submit declaration of intent and request for write-in votes to be tallied no later than 8 days before date of election and provide clerks with write-in candidates' email address. Clarifies that tallying of write-in results will be subject to requirements and statutes for tallying of write-in votes. Clarifies that county clerk may tally only write-in votes cast for persons who have timely filed declaration of intent and request for write-in votes to be tallied, except in the case of precinct committee person positions. We do not have a revenue nor a fiscal on the dash two amendment.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thank you for hearing House Bill 2855. For the record, thank you, Vice Chair.
My pleasure.
Appreciate your support.
I knew you would.
For the record, I'm Gene Wisnett, State Representative, House District 53, and honored to be presenting this bill. I think we can have some fun here this afternoon. House Bill 2855 is a simple bill, which I have worked with Secretary of State Brown, now Governor Brown. I actually have a letter of support from signed by Secretary Brown supporting my bill and saying she'll be happy to work with me on the bill. I dropped the bill. It's a simple bill. If you look at the original bill, I asked that on line 12 we add an electronic. The bill read, delivered by regular mail, and I'm asking that it be included in an electronic. I'm not sure who added change from 27th to 20th, if that was the clerks, or if that was LC, or if that was Secretary Brown at the time's office. However, my simple bill has been friendly hijacked by county clerks. And you have now before you a dash two, which I support. The dash two, my issue was that I received notification that I had received the write-in votes as a Democrat nomination by mail. And I got it the last day because mail delivery in the state of Oregon, especially in Sun River, is not very reliable or quick. And I did get my notification in time that I would accept it. Mr. Rob Bovet, for lobbyists for the county clerks, will be sure to come up and explain the new draft, which I fully support. And I support it because it's going to save Oregon taxpayers money, because it's going to reduce the workload that some bills in this body may have additionally workload given them, and it'll save them a lot of work. So Rob is prepared to address the amendment, which does take care of what I was seeking, and Secretary Brown supported, and Governor Brown now. So that's, I think, I hope you understand what I was trying to resolve, and Rob will be able to say that his amendment takes care of that and correct some other things to make it easier for clerks. Any questions, Madam Chair or committee member, honorable committee members? Come on.
No questions. I want to thank you. This is really, I think addressing the issue of allowing people to have time to respond is important, especially where, for instance, in Lane County this summer, our mail distribution center is set to be closed, so our mail will have to go to Portland and come back again. So it's, again, you know, we're looking at slower mail delivery, and so like yourself, I think this is a very good bill. I want to hear about we will call Mr. Bovet up to hear about the dash two amendments, and the plan is to give people time to read the dash two amendments, read through the bill, wait for the fiscal and revenue to come back, and then move this bring it back and move it at a later date, but I think it's a great concept. Mr. Bovette.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, Rob Bovette, representing the Oregon Association of County Clerks. So our clerks got this bill, and they weren't alarmed with the part that the representative pointed out, but they were alarmed with shortening the time frames that they have to do their work, because that would be a necessary result of that. And the problem is that they are so pressed right now to process these write-ins for Mickey Mouse, et cetera, that it drives them crazy and costs a lot of money. So we met with the representative, and we heard his problem, and we said, we actually have what we think is an even better solution. And this is, we're not inventing this out of whole cloth. This is exactly what we do with regard to writing candidates for soil and water conservation districts. So what the under our -2 amendment, what the representative could simply do is, prior to the election, at least 8 days before the election, he could essentially file an advance notice that if he, as a write-in candidate, is nominated for a particular party or elected, that he would accept. So it's an advance acceptance. So the clerks can define and refine what they're looking for among all the write-ins. And if we were able to do that, they would have no problem with shortening their time frame, because their work would be more focused on those who really are running a write-in campaign and want to be elected through write-in. And frankly, it's worked quite well in the soil and water conservation district arena. So we would ask you to move the -2 amendments after you've read them and thoroughly vetted them into the bill, and take care of two issues in one bill.
And you're amenable to this amendment? And
yep.
Any questions? Yes,
thank
Representative
you.
Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if it's true anywhere else in the state, but in my county, Lane County, there are a number of offices that often go I'm not sure what the word is. There's nobody has signed up for it, and there's no name on the ballot, other than in addition to precinct committee person. And for those offices, it is not unusual for someone who really wasn't intending to run to find themselves being asked to serve because they got several write-in votes. I take it that this -2 amendment would essentially end that possibility, wouldn't it?
Chair Hoyle, Representative, yes, it would. So someone who was willing to accept being a write-in candidate would need to file this advance notice at least 8 days before the election.
If I could follow up, the effect of this is essentially to allow a second bite after the filing deadline, but remove any possibility of an informal election, as it were, by write-in of somebody who didn't know they were being considered. I have to think about whether that. I understand why the clerks want it.
Right.
I'm not sure why that it makes sense to me. From the standpoint of operating elections, I have to think about that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative McLean.
Is the -2, Mr. Bovette, is the, if you have a PCP, would it cover PCP elections?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, no, because there's a whole separate bill dealing with tuning up the whole PCP process. It's Senate Bill 29, as I recall.
Other than.
So PCPs are exempted section from this.
Okay. So so let me ask you this. Are there offices where people make last-minute decisions to wage a write-in campaign? Because I know that happens with PCPs all the time.
Chair Hoyle and Representative McLean, yes. And we think 8 days is roughly the place where people ought to settle. We ought to have 8 days advance notice. If you want to adjust that time, for example, with soil water conservation districts, the time is actually 15 days right now. So essentially, if somebody decides on the 14th day before election they want to wage a write-in campaign, they can't effectively do that for a soil and water conservation district. We think 8 days is the appropriate number, but we're certainly willing to talk to you about that number, whatever that is.
Representative Kenema.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still lost in thought with Representative Barnhart's comments. I guess his analysis seems to me that it's probably correct, and you support that change? Do you agree with his analysis? Let me try this again. Do you agree with his analysis about its impact on some of these serendipitous elections, do you support that change?
Chair Hoyle, Representative Kenemer, yes. Representative Barnhart's second characterization also was correct, and yes, we support that.
Representative Brayfield.
So I'm having a tough time with this. one question I have. What happens if someone who does not file the 8-day, 7-day notice gets a larger share of the votes than someone that does file the 1-day petition? So let's say Representative McClain files the 7-day notice and he writes himself in on a ballot. I myself am not thinking. Actually, let's say Representative Wilson doesn't file the 7-day notice, but let's say he gets 30 votes from a write-in. What happens under that scenario?
Chair Hoyle, Representative Rayfield, the one who filed would be the only one that's recognized as being eligible to be of the write-in. So essentially the reason this creates efficiencies is the clerks are only looking for the names of those people that have told them in advance, if I get the election or the nomination, I'll take it.
Yeah, I think I'll just look at that.
All right, thanks.
And if I could add, Chair Hoyle, in the absence of this amendment, then what this bill would effectively do is further compress what the clerks have to do into an even smaller time frame that they're already struggling to comply with.
Representative Rayfield.
The other question I had would be, how would you inform the electorate of this change?
Chair Hoyle, Representative Rayfield, we haven't thought about that yet, but I think it would be incumbent on us and the secretary to let everybody know about this. What mechanism we use to do that, I'm not exactly sure. But the clerks have been engaging in election outreach for quite some time now, so I'm sure we can devise a plan to do that.
Representative McClain.
I don't like it. I'm just going to fire from the hip. I don't like it. We have election dates for a reason. It's the date of the election. And so if the effect of it is that the people voted, we just had a very contentious bill come through here, and we have now set a policy of maximum participation. A lot of reasons why I didn't support that, but now you're telling me a bill would have the effect of saying that the people could choose a winner by write-in, and their choice is nevertheless nullified because of some administrative compliance technique. I don't like it.
Chair Hoyle, could I throw out just a food for thought, because we're kind of talking here. What if we converted that to 0 days? What if we essentially said, file your notice that you'd accept the position by election day?
I don't like it less.
So I think.
Fair.
I see that's two negatives, isn't it?
We're heading in the right direction.
One of the things, the reason that we're having a public hearing and we're not moving the bill is we just got the language for the dash twos. What the clerks have said is that they're willing to work with anyone, and again, Representative Wisnett, thank you for working with everyone across the board to try and move the best policy possible. And what the clerks are looking for is a way to be as efficient as possible, and we will have much discussion between now and the next time we hear the bill. But again, this public hearing so that we could get it on your radar, so we could reach out to our clerks, so that we can reach out to our people in our districts that care about elections, and we will have further conversations about this. But thank you for bringing this forward. Are there any other comments or questions?
Madam Chair, can I just comment?
Thank
you, Madam Chair. That, you know, I hope that we can work this out, but the original intent was that right now the notification that we receive was only by mail, and as you at the chair and I agree that that's not reliable anymore, we should be able to use electronic email. So, but I hope we can include the clerks.
All right. Thank you so much.
And Madam Chair, before you gavel out, I like Representative Wisnett's bill. What I said when I don't like it was the dash two, but I think Mr. Bovid has proposed something that might work, and that is we maybe get the deadline or make it around that. Before you gavel out, I just wanted to say to my colleague, the good representative from Sun River, that I wasn't referring to his idea. I think his idea is a good one.
Perfect. Thank you very much. With that, unless there's any further discussion, I will close the public hearing. Okay, so I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2957. Erin, will you explain the measure?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2957 establishes specific dates for elections on county, city, and district measures that are not referred to people by county governing body, city governing body, or district elections authority. There is an emergency clause on this measure. We have a no revenue and a no fiscal impact on the measure.
Okay, I would like to call up Chuck Bennett and Scott Winkles.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Scott Winkles and I represent the League of Oregon Cities, and I'm appearing in support of 2957. Essentially what 2957 does is it allows elections that are referendums, initiative processes on local measures to be voted on at the time of a general or a primary election. The way the current system works now, citizens who wish to put a measure on the ballot, they will go out, they'll gather signatures, and then I believe it's from the point of certification, I believe it's 47 days after certification, a special election is held. Special elections tend to be very expensive for the governing body. I can think of an instance, a single issue vote can cost a mid-sized city anywhere around $60,000. That's essentially somebody's paycheck. And what we would do is take these initiatives and move them to the point where it'll be a regularly scheduled election and we'll have a higher turnout. Additionally, these special elections tend to have remarkably low turnout, even by Oregon standards. I've seen them in the upper 20s to low 30s. And so essentially what we're doing is just moving these to a regularly scheduled election in a cost-effective way in a manner that achieves the most voter participation.
Mr. Bennett.
Thank you. My name is Chuck Bennett. I'm a member of the Salem City Council and chair of its legislative committee. We've not had a chance yet to take a look at this at the City Council Legislative Committee or the Salem City Council, so I'm here on my own as a member of the council, and we'll be bringing it in front of the City Council over the next week or two if this bill isn't already gone. But just wanted to appear in support of this bill. I think, this represents both a cost savings to the city as well as a move by the legislature to ensure maximum participation in local elections.
Thank you. Any questions from, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chuck, how did the City Council put you in charge of legislative matters?
How did they do it?
Yeah, why in the world would they have
they
chosen
do that.
You? My serious question.
It actually is a serious question.
No, it's simply
the
this.
The mayor appointed me, actually.
I see. A smart mayor.
Nobody suggested overruling the mayor.
All right. Does this measure leave the option for an initiative? And, you know, you're paving the way, hopefully, for a cheaper election. But can they choose another date, or does this say you will do it on the regularly scheduled calendar of elections?
Chair Hoyle, Vice Chair Gilliam, it would be held on the day of the regularly scheduled election.
So no option there.
No.
My general feeling is in line with your comments about the turnout at these special elections. Are there exceptions to the rule that you know of where a particular issue that's very local and very important, maybe lots of strong feelings on either side, have actually exceeded or at least had reasonable turnouts?
Chair Hoyle, Vice Chair Gilliam, the one instance, my recollection was the Portland fluoride vote had a sizable turnout. I don't recall if there were other issues on that ballot.
We can talk about it some more. I just have a concern that we aren't straitjacketing folks. I like where this is going, but maybe there's local options where it would be better for circumstances I'm not completely aware of to have the election immediately following the signature gathering.
Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Fellow Vice Chair, to your comment, I would say I think the fact that there are it's not just the May and the November. If you look in the bill, there's also the March date and the September date. And to me, once a quarter, I don't see how you can get much more, you know, efficient and prompt given that deadlines are followed, which is one of the things it says in here, that you can meet signature deadlines. I mean, just I would say to that, I think because there are still four dates in this, my read is that would probably
within a calendar year. That's a very good point. I'm glad you said that.
Leader McLean.
Thank you. One question I have is that based upon if the citizens by their initiative decide to put up or overturn a vote by a county board of commissioners, the effect of this bill is that the decision would stay in effect and they could not overturn it until May or November of an even dated year. Is that true?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, that's not how I read it. I think to Representative Smith Warner's point, there should be opportunities quarterly.
Okay, so let me ask, in section one it says referred by the county governing body. So you can have a referral put on the ballot by vote of the county commissioners, and that still has four options every year. But if the county citizens disagree with the board of commissioners and they want an election on a decision or they want to overturn a county measure, it would fall to the new section two, and that means that you would have to do it at the date of the next primary election or general election, correct?
Take a look at section three and see if you don't see that as resulting essentially a biennial an semi-annual opportunity rather than section two, section three. And I'm not sure I'm reading it.
Well, let me ask a question. May I ask a question there? I'm sure. Let me ask a question another way. If the Marin County Board of Commissioners made a decision in February of 2015, and that decision galvanized a group of citizens who then by initiative won an election to decide to overturn that ordinance, and they turned in signatures by the end of March sufficient to hold that decision, when is the election?
The primary next year.
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, the way I read this bill, it would be in May. the May would still
of what
be
a year?
It would be in the same year, because the May is still a primary. It may not be a part of an odd numbered year. It may not be a party nomination process. During that November, we still call that a general election, as it's your, we have school boards, city councils still up for an election. And so we still might have a May primary, even though it's not a party nomination year for local offices.
Mr. Bavette, okay. Do you have a comment to make? Please identify yourself for the record.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, Rob Bavette. I'm wearing my hat as legal counsel for the Association of Oregon Counties that does support this bill for its cost-saving features. So what happens mechanically with the referendum, Chair Hoyle and Representative McLean, is that if a sufficient number of signatures are gathered to challenge essentially an enactment of a local governing body, that enactment does not go into effect. It's essentially stayed until the people have a chance to vote on it. Let me give a real-world example. So under Oregon law, statewide initiatives can only go on one ballot. That's November. And so what happens mechanically is this. In 1997, for example, the legislature decided, for reasons I won't bore you with, to recriminalize possession of less than an ounce of marijuana. Within 90 days, citizens who didn't like that decision got enough signatures on referendum petition to refer that to the voters. That law did not go into effect never went into effect, because in November of 1998, over a year later, the voters of Oregon said, no, we don't agree with that decision, and rejected that. So that law never went into effect, even though the measure was voted on, what, a year later. So that's mechanically what would happen. So if you had folks that were upset with the county commissioner, commissioners enacting an ordinance, and they gathered sufficient signatures within 90 days, that ordinance would never go into effect until it was voted on at the next May or November election. So we're wanting to just take it from 4 down to 2, where the state's already taken it down to 1.
Okay, so follow up. So this under the House Bill 2957, an election could be held if it was requested by a sufficient amount of voters every year in May and every year in November. Is that correct?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, that is my reading, and that is the intent. If that needs to be clarified, we can do that. But we would consider the May, and even in an odd-numbered year, the May, whether it's even or odd-numbered year, a primary election, and November a general.
Can I borrow the bill from you?
Okay, thank you.
What I would like to do is call Jim McCauley up and Mr. Bennett. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rob, you can stay.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, for the record, Jim McCauley representing Washington County. I'm glad you actually took care of most of the questions, because I wasn't going to be able to answer any of the details of that. Just want to offer simple support for the bill. I think our experiences have been very consistent with what Scott Winkles presented on behalf of LOC in terms of both voter turnout, but also some of the costs associated with some of these special elections. And some of our previous history, some of these special elections have been held a week, anywhere from a week before a primary or general, or 2 months. So there's realistically plenty of time to be able to have these still coincide with a regular scheduled election. And I think that's kind of important to keep in mind here, is that it doesn't seem to make any sense to hold some kind of a special election a week before, or 2 weeks before, or even 2 months before some of these general elections are scheduled. So that's really all the comments I wanted to make, but again, certainly offer support for the bill.
Questions or comments from the committee? Yes.
I just wanted thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to clarify that actually when I responded to Rep. Gillum's question, I read it wrong, because I was looking at those four initially. So indeed, this would keep all four dates for government referred, but cut down to primary and general voter referred. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Questions, comments?
Yeah. Just one comment. Maybe we could have it pointed out just because maybe folks will be caught with the same impression that I had, that this is two dates every 2 years instead of two dates every year. Maybe we need a dash one that just points that out. That would probably reduce the amount of concerns. And it may be unnecessary, but nevertheless good for making sure folks are alleviated of that apprehension.
Mr. Bavette?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, I would agree because I think your reading is correct.
And then that is why we are not going to move this bill today. We wanted to hear the bill, give people an opportunity to read it, to think about it, come up with good ideas for amendments. I like the idea of helping our county save money. So if you have questions, please go out to your districts, people you think would be interested, get information, and work with I believe it's Representative Doherty or yourself, Mr. Bavette?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Work with Mr. Bavette. Are there any other questions or comments on this particular bill? Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. With that, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2957 and... Okay, we will not be meeting on Wednesday. Just want to remind, on Friday we are meeting because we have a number of memorials. We don't normally meet on Friday. We have a number.
Next Friday.
Oh, never mind. And we won't be meeting on Friday.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I just wanted to clarify, we do not have any bills scheduled for this Wednesday. We are not meeting this Friday. Friday, March 6th, we will have a meeting. But that will hopefully be our one lone Friday meeting until, you know, later in session when time demands we meet more often. So just to clarify, we just do not have any measures for Wednesday. We will not be meeting this Friday. We will be back on track next Monday.
Great. I want to thank my committee members for your patience, and this is why I am not staff and merely the representative. So with that, no further business. We are adjourned. We are adjourned.